Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 136, part 1, Go Forth Without the Camp. Today is Friday, March 5th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday to register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to call between 1 and 3 p.m. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. Be sure to join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes. You can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org, and in the show notes, you're going to also find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one of Pastor Paul's messages and Sundays for part two. This month, the messages are the following: Go Forth Without the Camp, Are We Sincere, Are You in the Smoke, The Riches of His Grace. So there you have it, the month of March. Have a great month and a beautiful spring. God bless you.
Friday night, we ministered from Proverbs 11 and 25. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. And today, I'm going to minister on Go Forth Without the Camp. And I think as we enter the very last days of the race, going on and going forth will become harder. Because I think there's a storm that's looming ahead. I believe there's a separation coming. I know, even as I minister, some on the radio say, oh no, I just don't want to get into this because, see, I'm going along so great. Well, you know, if you get in the middle of suffering, you'll find out that there's more suffering coming this way, and it's headed towards the middle class also, an upper middle class. But lovers of self and lovers of God will show up. There'll be those that'll say early in the game, change. And then they'll sit down. They'll be gung-ho. You ever seen a gung-ho person? They get right in there and say, and they jump the gun. Those that have that early start and don't wait on the voice of the Lord, on the other hand, they'll sit down. When the battle really gets going, you're going to see a whole lot of people that started out, sprinters, that'll sit down right in the middle of the cinders. Hebrews 13 and 13 says like this, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. You know, God has so constituted this universe that selfishness is the greatest possible offense against his law. And living for others is the very strictest of obedience to his will. Living for other people. You know, when you live for someone else, you're really free. Because you're not all bound up worrying about self. And you find out that's the only way that you ever have any rest. God gives rest to His beloved. The only way that you have any rest is fitting into the plan of God and giving your life. And what have you got to give anyway? I mean, it isn't that much of a big deal, is it? Aren't you listening on the radio to this tape? Maybe some sitting in here today. If you would totally give yourself over to the work of the Lord, and without complaining, without looking for a pat on the back, usually you get a kick in the seat of the pants anyway. But that's the glory in it. See? But then there are those who profess to have now discovered a very easy way. There is a way by which a man may attain to a great reputation as a Christian and yet avoid all the trials of the believer's state. How about that? No trials. Years ago, I ministered on suffering, sorrow, and persecution. And the hyper-faith group said, you know what, you're going to get exactly what you confess. No, I said, I didn't confess it. It just comes right out of the Word of God. Says you're going to have sorrow. Says you're going to have strife. Says there's going to be those things in the end times. And God also says, in the end times, I'll raise up the low, base, perverted things of the world to confound the wise. So now we're seeing a whole lot of influx and people coming in off of the streets and confounding the wise with love, without, you know, malice, and living out the Word of God, not even knowing the Word of God. I believe they're led by the Spirit, for the Bible says the very low, base, perverted things of the world will be raised up in the latter day to confound the wise. Kind of puts the established church in a bind. Because see, we had all the truth, but now all of a sudden the truth is coming out of what we call the lie. God in the end times, it says, is going to do a new thing. Oh. A lot of us think we can go through this world like it was a golf course, you know. Four, once in a while we might get banged on the head, but a few sand traps. Maybe some rough spots. Maybe you have to put up with a pigeon-toed caddy or something like that, but nothing real serious. Blessed with smiles then from the friendly formalist and with the admiration of the ungodly. You see, he may get saved and live his life and never, ever experience a single shower to dampen his delight. Birds and bees a-humming, meadowlarks singing. Come to Jesus, He's the easy way. That's the way they sound out in the meadow. If you're listening real close. Come to Jesus, it's the easy way. No ravens will croak, no owls will hoot. Oh, there's so much nonsense going on talking about owls. They say, well, now, you shouldn't have an owl because, see, that's an occult. Well, God made the owl. And they said, well, it is a cult. It's an occult symbol. I said, yeah, well, so are people into occults. Should you throw them in a heap? Yes, they say the road to glory and immortality shall be all that ease could ever wish. Let him adopt that modern theory of humanism. Let him believe a lie is the truth. And whether it's a lie or the truth, who cares? Who cares? Did you ever get that? You know, if we could knock down that spirit of unbelief, and it happens to all of us, comes to you in the middle of the night. I wonder if this is for real after you've witness miracles from the Lord, healings in your own life, and that spirit of unbelief will come to you and I wonder if this is for real. If we could whip that one spirit of unbelief, we wouldn't have to worry about that other devil. And that's what's happening right now. There is a spirit of unbelief. But let them go ahead and be complacent against every man. Let him then agree with every other man's principles, having none of his own worth mentioning. And when he's in Rome, let him do as the Romans do. Let him flow with popular opinion. Let me tell you something. You're not always going to be popular. People are not always going to like you. In the end, it says you're going to be hated in the house of your friends. They'll say, oh no, here comes the drag again, the bore, the creep. Keep him out. He's a Tom and Jerry ruiner. Just standing with his foam and suds all over the mouth. Oh my. But sooner or later, this too quiet, too calm, walk to heaven, enters in a very dark cloud thought that crosses his mind. Is this the way to heaven? And I thought, oh, how pleasant it would be if we could please men and please God too. And you could go please men and, well, what's your pleasure, treasure? And you could please this guy, and then you could go, okay, now it's your turn, God. I was busy pleasing these people over here. Now, what do you want? Hurry up, will you? Because I got people to please too. You know, take a number. That isn't the way it is it? I mean, though, if we could make the best of the two worlds and then enjoy the sweets of the next one to come. But a warning shouts out from the pages of the Bible. Give your life for a friend. Give your life. Hey, everything, even your family, if it takes first place. Now, a lot of times that's misunderstood. Oh, that's what I can't do. Well, I'm just saying. If you love anything above God, then you've made that thing a god and it'll fall. Well, let's say you make your mate a god. How is your god in the morning when you get up with your god? Understanding? Altogether lovely? Maybe your god is your boss. Is he always understanding? No. But see, we don't understand the scripture. What it's saying is that have no other gods before me. Maybe it's your kids. Don't they make you miserable at times? But hate everything, follow me, work it out with the word. See, work without the word doesn't mean anything. And word without work doesn't mean anything because they have to run together. You can take all the word you want and sit down and be a 900-pound word hog and just walk around a great big frumpy spiritual nothing. Never do anything and you're sickening. But if you get out there and you put that word to work, then you have a witness. You don't have to say it. People can see. The world even says that. Don't they? Picture is worth 1,000 words and all that, what they had to say. They quote a lot of scripture, don't even know they're doing it. All good things come from God. But then it talks about the very straight and narrow and about few that will find it. It speaks about persecution, suffering, and reproach. Contending even unto bleeding, it says, blood, striving against sin. And it says, follow after the Spirit. And okay, now that's hard to do. Because you know why? Because the flesh always gets in the way. The flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit wars against the flesh. Always. You're always going to be wrestling with your flesh until it's laid down and it decays in the grave, okay? But the Bible talks about wrestling, it talks about fighting, it talks about struggling, it talks about witnessing. I never heard the Savior say, I sent you forth as sheep into the midst of green pastures. No, sheep in the midst of wolves. But we just think we can just, you know, get into little groups of sheep and get out there and nibble on some grass here, nibble. That looks good over there, and we hop the fence, and we get over there, and we nibble over here, and we never get involved. See, we just sort of say, pack it up light so we don't have to get involved. Now, you listening out there on the radio, maybe you're got a company or something. How would you like it if all of your workers would just all of a sudden say, well, it looks a little better over here? And I thought I'd go work in this factory. Aren't we all brothers? Aren't we all doing this for a common cause? And a guy told me that one time. I had him doing a work, and he says, well, hey, we're all brothers in Christ. And I just thought, you know, you had me do this work. And I thought, well, I'll just go over there and do that work over there. I says, well, do you do that down at your job? I says, don't put a guilt trip on me by saying I'm not spiritual because you're over there doing something else. I mean, you're supposed to be over here doing this job. But I said, don't halt in between two opinions. Either go one place or go the other. But make up your mind, because see, it's the, you know, this punching in and out. It's hard to keep your time card straight. But it talks about wrestling and fighting and struggling and witnessing. I hear the Lord prophesying that we should be hated of all men for his name's sake. I think a lot of times we're on the wrong road. Lilac Lane, fragrance, and a whole lot of park benches. Isn't there a song like that? Lilac Lane. Oh, I'm so happy wandering down Lilac Lane, isn't it? And you just go so far on your road to heaven, you sit down on a park bench. You sit there for 3 or 4 years and enjoy yourself. Huh? And you're just having such a wonderful time fellowshipping. Isn't that right, radio? Don't turn me off. They turn us off, don't they? And they turn you off when you speak a little bit of truth, and they'll find some kind of an excuse to get out of it and sit down on a park bench and just enjoy fellowship. Maybe someone will come along and say, let's go have a glass of suds. Oh, okay, what's wrong with that? But see, if it makes your brother stumble, don't do it. Now, see, you have to live with all those things. Is that right, radio audience? Just talking about a little bit of dedication is all, see? But Lilac Lane, and if we follow Jesus, we will have trouble, says in the Bible. And the person called me and says, will it always be that way? No, sometimes trouble comes before persecution. No, the Bible says you must take up the cross to win the crown. No cross, no crown. See, we die to self and we live for others. And the watering comes from watering others. How do you get watered? When you water others. The waterers will be watered. Well, people come in and they donate time and they say, gee, I feel so good. Well, I said, you just got watered because you watered somebody else. And I hear somebody say, well, you're all wet, that's for sure. Well, that's good. The waterers will be watered. That is the highest form of obedience to the Lord, is meeting and living your life for someone else. Give your life to gain it. But then again, the disciples of Christ must never expect to follow their master, not merely by keeping or by obedience to doctrines, but also in the reproach which gathers about his cross. I find nowhere in the Bible where Jesus was on a flowery bed carried into heaven. I don't find him applauded with universal acclamations. But on the contrary, wherever that he goes, he is the protester against things established by human wisdom, and in return the things established by his very destruction. And they are not satisfied, the Bible shows us, until they crucify him. No, Jesus had no life of pleasure and ease. He was despised, it said, and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. All right. I don't think I'd like that kind of life. Well, what'd you have before, sonny boy on the radio? Did you have a bed of roses before? No, all I had was a nervous twitch. And a lot of worry. And a lot of frustration, a lot of resentment. Meaner than hell itself. Miserable. Now I'm miserable for God. It's much better. Because there's a reward. Jesus had no life of pleasure. And so let us rest assured that if we bear faithfully our testimony, we shall discover that the servant is not above his master, nor the Bible says the disciple above his Lord. It's the way it is, isn't it? If they then call the master of the house Beelzebub, what shall they call us? If we are really servants, we will be hated. If the church is really a ship, it will have a whole lot of storms. And expect storms ahead. How many know there's storms ahead? Now, when you get on the ship, don't you expect there might be a storm? Hoist the mainsail! Head her into the storm! What do? You go right into the storm. You lift it up, you hoist the mainsail, and you go right into the storm. You sail right into it. And you buckle that controversy, and you buckle that conversation, and you buckle that jealousy, and all that rivalry, and all that gossip, and you buck it all, and you go ahead. And you what? You ride it out. You ride the storm. But from that first day, Cain and Abel divided the first family into two camps. Even until now, the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Evil against good, and good against evil. Because wherever the true and the dedicated have pitched their tents, there the enemy has gathered to attack them. Now, Christ didn't come to make a truce. The Bible is very clear about that. With sin. Our peaceful Savior came not to form any such alliance. Here's what it says. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be those in his own household. Now listen, you just keep on being a Christian and going ahead doing the works of God, and people are going to hate you, see you coming in the door. They're going to say, don't let your wings get caught on the way out, sonny boy. Because you're going to cause an irritation. I find no flowery gold-gilded chariots of ease or walking in silver slippers. on the road to heaven. But I find contention and strife and rebuke and suffering and cross-bearing and bloodbaths. That's the way it's going to be come the end. And it says in the Bible, resistance, I say again, unto blood, striving against sin. And so this is what the text is saying to us today. Number one, the believer's path. Number two, his leader. Thirdly, his burden. And four, his reason for following that path. So number one then, first of all, we have the believer's path. Let us go forth without the camp. Now, the divine command is not let us stop and try to reform it. Now, there's a whole lot of people in the camp that aren't going to want to go. You don't strike. Now, listen, kids. I'm going to try to reform you. You're going to go to reform school, and then when you get out of there, we're going to put you into action, okay? You don't stop and try to reform, and it says, go on without them. Go forth without the camp. Don't wait on them. Don't try to reform them. How many are hearing this? The divine command is not let us stop. Let us deal with the compromise. Let us clean the ship up. It doesn't say that. Let us save the pastor or the priest. Let us show that their error in not ministering salvation. No, let us go forth without the camp and stop trying to argue people into the kingdom of God and arguing people into doing something for the Lord. Just go without them. Don't you feel like doing that sometimes with your kids? And they're laying, you're trying to get their snowmobile suit on or you're trying to get their diaper on and they're just a fussing and a kicking and a yelling and screaming. You feel like just, oh, leave them and go, man, lay there and bawl, I'm going, huh? Isn't that the way it is before you go on a trip? Oh, you plan it and everything is so glorious and so much fun and oh my, it's getting the kids in the car that kills you. About that time, they all want to scream and holler and fight, and it's the most miserable trip. Try taking a trip with four kids all the way to California in a camper, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Next time, you'll fly. Leave the flying to us. How many are hearing this message today? Noah says, come forth, let us go forth without the camp. That means if somebody doesn't want to go, then you go. Right? Isn't that right? Oh, honey, babe, can you get out of bed? Come on, wake up now. It's time to go to church. Come on now. Huh? I'll tell you what they do in the army. They roll you out of there. They just pull the covers and roll you right out. Now, maybe they don't do that nowadays. Maybe they do play them soft music and violins to get them up. I don't know. But never used to be that way when I was in the army. Know what I mean? Give you a bayonet and a seat of the pants. Now they probably have a fan blowing over coffee so that gets them up. Doesn't Abraham come as an example to us? God told him to leave his faith and to live by faith. Well, leave all that you knew and live by faith. Things that you don't know and things that you can't see, but things that you live by faith. Then again, when Israel went down to Egypt, God didn't say, stay there and conquer. He says, no, come out from among them. We don't need a whole lot of real estate. We don't need all them great big old pyramids and lions and whatever they got for statues. I believe the true church is led by the Spirit. You young guys right there that came in from Washington over there on that boxcar, you are the true church. tell you why I know that. First of all, when you started to clean out that basement and by faith you started to work over there, you started it, see, and that's what got it going. God saw your good intention. Way up in Washington, he put the bite on. He put the call on three young boys to come on down this way. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You stay in here, you're going to go through the fire. But I'll tell you something. God sent you here, and we're clearing out a basement, digging down this 16 inches down in the floor down there to make headroom, and we're going to have 12 people staying in that house because God is bringing in the church. Isn't that something? Think about it. God is calling a church together. Maybe you're listening on the radio and you say, well, I don't want none of that, but maybe God is calling you. And you're asking me on the radio, well, what do you mean by going forth without the camp? It means make an open profession of your faith. And don't be persuaded to pitch your tent next to Sodom and Gomorrah, where there's wine, women, and song like Lot. And Lot's wife said, let's just go over there and take a peek in there, honey. See what them old nasty sinners is doing over inside there, over in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we'll minister to them. We'll pass out tracts and stuff. No. Don't pitch your tent next to Sodom and Gomorrah. You that love the Lord, say so. You must stand up and be counted. If you don't make any kind of a profession, who can be sure that you're part of the church?
I am saved. Are you?
You go around whispering, I know the Lord. Do you? Why don't you say it loud enough so the Lord can hear it? What are you, some kind of a silent partner? Oh, I'm always suspicious of silent partners because you never know what they're doing. Never know when they're going to blow into town and go through the office. Are you a silent partner? No. Stand up and be counted. Well, the Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, Jesus says, then I'll be ashamed of you. Next, the Bible says the Christian is to be separate from the world as to his company. Birds of a feather flock together. Eagles with eagles. Crows with crows. Ducks with ducks and owls with owls and vultures with vultures. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Unless you love Christ better than the husband or the father or the mother, even your own life, you cannot be his disciple. Separation. It count the cost before you get into it. And if you can't bear such a cost as this, do not undertake to be followers of Christ. You know what I found out? That my joy and my rest is in the service of Christ. My life is service. I got a lot of living to do, so I got a lot of serving to do. Isn't there a song like that? I got a lot of living to do. And if I want a lot of life, and I feel like I want to have a lot of life, I got to do a lot of serving. Did you ever sit down and you just don't feel like doing your housework, and oh man, you're sitting there with your old slippers on, and daddy's gone to work, and good riddance too, just being honest. And you're sitting in these great big fluffies on, you got your hair done up in these, I could have had a V8 cans all in your head. And you're sitting there, you know, and this old raggedy house coat on, eyes half closed, wondering where you went wrong, and, you know, Gee, if you'd have took the turn in the road this way or that way, look where you would have been. Here you are, just an old housewife sitting there. Think about that. And then you get up all of a sudden, you get an urge. Something sparks you. Oh, clean your house. And so you pick up a rag and you start kind of slow cleaning. You clean a little bit. Then you start getting into it. When you get all done, serving gave you life. And now you feel pretty good. So you go in, you comb your hair, and you get all fixed up and everything, and the house is all done. You say, well, go do a little shopping. And you close the door, and you open the door, and you take another look in it. I can't believe I did it. I feel so good about myself. That's what service does for us. It brings us life. Now, you just sit around and you just get bored and you get mean and you get evil. You ever see somebody just sits? Now, you leave a man alone with his thoughts and they'll always run towards evil all the time. Look at David. He got out of the battle and he went on R&R and he took a look off the porch down there and got himself in some real trouble. Woo-wee, he said, you know. See, we have to be serving to be happy. You're not happy unless you're serving. You were made to serve. You were made to serve the Lord. That's what you're, to praise God. And the highest form of praise is serving God. So if you want a lot of life, you got a lot of serving to do. And it'll bring you life. And it'll bring you joy. And it'll bring you peace. And it'll bring you all those things. Why? Because you get blessed, because you're obeying God. Now you just sit around all by yourself and you're going to get miserable. And if somebody comes around, they're going to get miserable with you because you'll have it no other way. You want to get a majority going in your misery. Misery loves company. Doesn't it? And so you just set out to make everybody miserable. Go to work. Good morning. What's good about that? See, we have to be busy doing the Lord's work. My watering, in other words, is being a waterer. Well, some people need more water than others. I was noticing the other day they were down there doing these plants. Some of the plants hadn't been watered in about 8 or 9 days, and they were just, man, they were hanging over the sides of the pot. Their leaves were hanging out. Then there was others that were halfway, and then there were some that were standing up there real tall and proud, you know, big fat leaves. Show-offs, you know. And as we watered the plants, they started to, I thought, this is a miracle before my eyes. They started to have life because they got water. And as I saw these plants taking on water and get life, it brought me life. I like to go out here in the garden and like to water this stuff. And it's all looking kind of dry, and I get the hose out there and pull it out. You know, it's kind of a job. You got to get this great big old muddy hose out of the basement. You got to carry it out. There's about like 2 miles of it to go around the building, you know, and get out there. But the joy is in serving. And when I water those plants, I get a message every time I water them. They come to life. And it's just like us. Some of us need more watering. I think a lot of times it's ignorance, though. Not knowing the will of God. Not seeking the Lord on our own and always waiting for someone to water us. Some people don't need to be watered as much as others. Some people have to go to 2,000 seminars in their life to be happy. Christ, I'm saying, is our model, and Christ is our answer. And if your church is preaching something like, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk instead of Christ and the cross, get out of there. Now, secondly, we have in the text the Christian leader. It doesn't say, let us go forth without the camp merely, but let us go forth therefore unto him. Go therefore unto him. See, you might leave society. See, we may forsake all the conventionalities and become nonconformist in the very widest sense, and yet not carry out this very word, this very text. Because the text is, go ye forth unto him. It means, let us have fellowship with him. Okay, now if you're going to have fellowship with Christ, what does that mean? He was despised. He had no credit for charity. Anything good he did, no one ever even looked at it. Now it says the whole world couldn't, you know, receive all the books of all the things that he had done while he was here. And he got no credit for his charity. Don't look for credit from people when you do charitable things. It says he was mocked in the streets. He was hissed at. He was hounded from among society. And if I take the smooth part, I can no way fellowship with him. Fellowship requires a like experience. You have to be on the same ship. Well, the world even says that we're all in the same boat. So if it-